In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today, and I'm very much enjoying the start of this tour that I'm on called Behold the Lamb. I'm giving a series of talks in the southern part of the United States, in Texas and Louisiana and Alabama and Arkansas, on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and then how we have to be an evangelizing witness of that power of the Eucharistic Christ to the world. So two talks I'm giving in parishes, again, in the South, and I'm so far just getting started. Started Monday in Rowena, Texas, and then spent the last night with some friends in Buda and Fayetteville last night. Now, on my way to Louisiana, first stop in Louisiana, Vacherie, Louisiana. And so very excited to be with all of you today. Again, we had the ascension of the Lord. And now the Lord, as he's preparing his disciples, he's now preparing us to receive an outpouring of his Holy Spirit in Pentecost, which, of course, is coming up this Sunday. And so as I drive from state to state and proclaim the power of God's love in the blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, and as the Holy Spirit prepares us, you know, I was thinking about, when I think about the Holy Spirit, what's the first kind of image that comes to my mind? Well, it's love. You know, think about it. We have the theological or supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, we know, of course, is love. Now, why is love the greatest of all of those virtues? Well, very simply this. In the end, I'm talking about the end of our life and in the end of the world when Christ gives the kingdom of heaven back to his Father in the fullness at the end of time, the only thing that will be there is love. There's no more faith because the faith has been fulfilled. There's no more hope because hope will be realized. The only thing that will continue to exist is love, right? That's the one universal virtue that transcends space, that transcends time, that transcends everything, right? It was love and the love of God that poured into the universe that creates everything that exists and everything that will ever exist is created out of an outpouring of God's love. And so all of us then are the result of that love, right? All of us have that love of God contained within us. But there are certain times in our lives, and we've all been through this, we don't really feel God's love. We're searching for love. We're searching, well, not just searching for a feeling or an emotion, but that sense of longing and belonging. You know, when we don't feel the presence of God's love, or we don't feel like we can be loved because we committed a really bad sin, we did something horrible out of passion or emotion or out of anger, and now we are living a little bit of resentment, and we just feel we can't be loved, or that we feel that we can't love the way that God wants us to love, and we know we feel a little bit held back from God's love. So what do you do when you're longing for love, right? What do we do in those circumstances? Well, today I want to crack open God's word, right, to see what the scriptures have to say about what you do when you are longing for love, when you don't feel love, when you feel you can't love. Because we can't allow those feelings and emotions to overpower overpower God's love in our lives. You know, God's love is always present, is always working, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't feel like loving, as I said, we feel that we can't be loved, God's love is always present, always real, always working. And so what can we do when we're desiring that longing to be loved and to love the way that, you know, or at least in our human, limited human way, to at least try to live our lives in a way that's commensurate with God's love for us? How do we make a greater gift of ourselves to others when we don't feel God's love in our lives? I think that's an important thing to talk about, because this is a way that we can prepare our minds and our hearts for a deeper reception of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, you know, you've heard me say this before. We already have the Holy Spirit, right? The sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of confirmation. We have the indelible mark of the Holy Spirit onto our souls. And those of us who are holy orders, we have that third sacrament, at least that permanent indelible mark. So we are already marked for Christ. And the grace, therefore, is already there. We just have to freely choose to cooperate with that grace that activates that the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. And I'm hoping that today's show will be a reminder of how much God truly loves you, and how even in those dark moments of our lives, even when we're living with the mistakes and the regrets of the past that maybe have affected the lives of other people, you know, that God's love is still with us, that God's love is still present and active and working in every single aspect of our lives. That's what we're talking about today. What do you do when you're longing for love? What do the scriptures have to say to us about that as we prepare to receive the Holy Spirit in Pentecost? Of course, would love for you to be with us today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. You know, but one thing I don't have to worry about when it comes to God's love is knowing that the people that I love help you bring you this show every day. I'm talking about Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media, Makabinski, who screens your calls, and of course, the one who's who fills my heart with love each and every day, our producer, the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, man. As we talk about love, obviously, I can't help but also attach it to love songs, because as we talk about music, you know, how many times is, you know, the Air Supply song, you know, you can't hear it without reminding you of someone who broke your heart, or don't play that song. You know, it's I think there's even a song about that. Olivia Newton-John had, you know, like the cowboy comes in and puts the quarter in the jukebox. Ask your mom and dad what a jukebox is, kids. but the thing I love is that when you realize that you're in a place of healthy love, that you can hear those songs again, and it's not that trigger. It's not full of tears. It might still remind you of that person, but you see yourself healed through that because of God's love.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, speaking of songs, right, Captain and Tennille, like, love will keep us together.
Right.
You know, and so maybe that's a song to think about when you're going through a difficulty in your marriage or in a relationship. You know, ultimately, again, love is like that super glue that binds things together. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, therefore, a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. And that word cleave to is daubach, which means to adhere to in the strongest possible way. Yeah. It's like a spiritual super glue, you know? And so maybe that's a way to think about it, and think about those songs that draw us into that love. Or as you say, that maybe even like, no, I don't want to sing that song right now because I'm not feeling it now. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's always something out there, a song out there, I think, that will draw us into a deeper experience of God's love.
Yeah. Well, and I love too, and it wasn't until recently that I even had this visual, but to think about cleaving to your spouse, like there's no room to get in there but the Holy Spirit, right? Like you are becoming one as God brings you closer together. And I love that, because as much as my kids are grossed out anytime my wife and I are having a huggy, kissy moment in the kitchen, I love that they get to see that, because they have a better understanding. Like, I never had that growing up. Like, my parents love each other, but it wasn't in that cleaving kind of way. It's just, okay, we're, you know, loving each other, we're taking care of each other, but we have our issues and we don't talk about them. We just sweep them under the rug and we go about our day, and then it gives us something to complain about. And that was not the kind of marriage that I wanted to go into. And again, I'm in my third, so I'm trying to get it right this time. But I love the idea of that when you are so close to your spouse and through the Holy Spirit, allowing yourself to feel that love that is supposed to make you one, then you know you are being obedient in that love.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's why often the love of spouses, love of children, and love of friends mirror in some way the love of God. Obviously, in different ways, different contexts, but that love is always there.
Amen.
All right. Awesome. Well, what do you do when you long for love, when you don't feel that you are loved or feel that you can't be loved or give love? That's what we're talking about today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. You know where my mind was going when I heard that?
Tell me.
Devo.
Of course. I also thought of like Pac-Man Fever. You remember that one hit wonder?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Great bass line.
That's a song I had not heard of.
Yeah.
True.
It's such a great, like the musicality of that song is great despite what the lyrical content may be.
Yeah, true. Yeah, this definitely has that that vibe, the Devo kind of vibe. Whip it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and for anybody who's a Weird Al fan, he did a Devo cover or a parody called Dare to Be Stupid, and they're now making that into a musical. So a Weird Al musical called Dare to Be Stupid is in the works right now to then take the catalog, what they call a jukebox musical. So Weird Al on the Broadway stage is going to be mind-blowing.
Wow. I mean, what a shtick that guy has for all these years.
Yeah.
You know, parodying songs. And the thing is, I mean, it actually is a kind of a genius because I mean, there's so much music out there.
Yeah.
So much content. And people could continue to create music until the end of time. So he always has new material that he can use to... Yeah. To do his shows.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it also crosses generations because, I remember as a kid listening to Weird Al Yankovic when he was being played a lot on the radio, you know, popular back then, you know, parodying Michael Jackson and some others, you know. Mm-hmm. And even now, all these years later, he's still doing his thing now with the next generation of songs and the next generation of listeners and people who appreciate and love music. So it's actually kind of brilliant.
Yeah. And he does write originals too. Like if you ever buy an album, he does write originals and then they're just comedy. It's just like a comedy record, right? But I also love and always worth mentioning is his polka medleys. So he'll take pop songs that you know and do a mesh for like a 6-minute medley, but it's all in polka, you know, with, you know, playing the accordion and it's got that oompa oompa, you know, feel to it. As funny as the parodies are of the songs that he's emulating, the polka medleys are some of my favorites.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I've ever listened to an entire album of Weird Al Yankovic. I think I just heard the songs that are on the radio or like MTV used to play his stuff a lot. And
yeah, there's the one that I used to listen to quite a bit was the one where he does the Smells Like Nirvana. So he does a parody of Nirvana, like even the cover is a parody of their album Nevermind. But that whole album is just hilarious, and probably the best of his polka medleys in my opinion is on there. So if you get a chance, if you start anywhere, if you're listening to a whole album, that's my suggestion is that one, because it's something fun you can listen to with the kids. There's songs on there that you'll remember. Like he does one about the cream filling of an Oreo cookie and calls it the white stuff, which is the parody of the right stuff by New Kids on the Block. And then you can't.
Oh, wow.
And then you can't unhear it the next time you hear New Kids, right? you want to sing the Weird Al lyrics because it's more fun.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm going to have to go back and listen to him a little bit more now. Wow. Okay.
Because he he also did a parody on Yoda to the tune of Lola by the Kinks. He did the American Pie parody, which is my least favorite song in existence, but he did it in telling the story about Anakin Skywalker from Star Wars. And the way he does it is hilarious. But again, it's the melodies and tunes of songs you already know, you know, and it just makes it enjoyable. And my son, it was one of his first concerts we did last summer, was to go see Weird Al, and he's phenomenal live. But just the parody of and stuff that's still funny, right? It still stands the test of time. Not a lot of songs can say they do that.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Wow. And I guess he's the one when you think of in that kind of genre. I mean, who else is doing
nobody
that? Yeah. That exactly. That's why I can't think of anybody that does that to the level that he does it. So
yeah
in his own way, he's making a significant contribution to the music world there.
Right. So true.
Yeah. Very a unique contribution at that.
Right.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about, what do you do when you long for love? You know, when you don't feel that you can love or feel that you can be loved, we know that have God's love, which is present in us, is present in the world. You know, it's the binding force that holds everything together. But what do you do during those times when you don't feel or feel that you can be loved, or you don't feel you can't share God's love, or maybe some mistake that you made in the past, maybe even a big scary mistake that cost you a friendship, that cost you a relationship, and you're just still feeling the effects of that? What does Scripture have to say about what we can do when we long for love? And we'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
I know as we wind down Easter, of course, Sunday being Pentecost Sunday, a chance for us to reflect on the Holy Spirit in our lives. Also a chance for us to also know that there are so many other great programs that we can continue to feed off of outside of Easter that brings us closer to God. Make sure you check that out through Podcast Central. But celebrating Pentecost Sunday with you this week is at EWTN Radio.
All right. So, you know, since we're on this kind of trail, this road today, you're talking about what kind of things, what can we do when we are longing for love? We're yearning for love. I thought it'd be fun to kind of continue to look at some songs. We're going to look at the Scriptures, of course, and what the Scriptures have to say about what we do when we find ourselves in our situation where we feel that we can't be loved. Maybe even we're not deserving of love, or we're longing for love, and we just feel loneliness and emptiness sometimes. You know, what do the Scriptures have to say? How can we rebound from that? How can we be reminded the power of God's love? So I thought it'd be fun to kind of continue our little discussion here about songs that speak to us about love. And so what's another one that comes into your mind there, Ace?
So it's interesting that you mentioned Captain and Tennille, because the one of the songs that always kind of lives rent free in my head is Muskrat Love, which I didn't truly understand the meaning of it as a kid. It was just, you know, just a cute little, you know, love song. But again, I think that's as we experience love, the good and the bad sides of it, we have a better understanding of what a songwriter is trying to say in conveying either their own relationships or ones that they've also been in. Because again, the great thing about, and as a fellow songwriter, the great thing about breakups is I can write about that breakup when I have moments that I need to heal from. And it doesn't involve reaching out to that ex. It doesn't involve me even having to say anything to anyone but to myself and to God of, okay, I don't know why I'm feeling this, but it may channel some kind of poetry or some kind of journal entry or a song. And, you know, and some songwriters have even joked, you know, I can make millions off my ex's breakup and she'll never see a dime. But the part for me, at least, is love songs can be that healer, right? It can be the thing to get you there. And again, you don't necessarily always understand, okay, are we supposed to love like muskrats? Are we supposed to just nuzzle our noses like they do? Like, what does that mean? But you, when you dive into that and apply it, I like, especially when you're in a healthy relationship, like with my wife now, we can make little references of things like that, whether it's attachment to music or a show we've seen or something. And it just deepens that because, again, I mean, I'm sure you and your wife have your little inside jokes and your little inside things that are either ooey gooey or just a language of love that only you have. And that's a song like that is that. Like, muskrats have their own language, right? And any breed of animal has their own language of how they're expressing love. And that's what we have to get into is that rhythm of, Lord, who is that person that I can have that kind of relationship with?
Yeah, that's so true. And the lyrics of that song are just so, yeah, when you're a kid, like, what are they talking about? But it's just, I think, just a fun way to express that kind of love. You can go deeper. Well, here's another one by one of your favorite groups, the Beatles, or probably in that, but your favorite group of all time. Mm. All You Need Is Love.
Yeah.
You know, and with a song like that, again, very fun song. But see, then sadly, people will come and politicize a song like that.
Sure.
Like, well, all you need is love. And, you know, and so it doesn't matter, you know, how that love is expressed, as long as you love everybody, you know, and that, you know, that can be twisted and distorted to justify different types of love that may be distorted by our sinful human nature.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes, you know, songs, again, which has, and that kind of interpretation has nothing to do with what the song was written or why it was written. But again, sometimes we have a tendency to take things out of the proper context. So I think that's something we need to be careful of too, you know, is politicizing songs to satisfy particular agendas.
Sure. Well, and, you know, at the time of the 60s, I mean, every song, if you really think about what was happening in the world, can feel and sound like it was all about healing the world, you know, coming together, all the things, right? And to its own, every generation is trying to process what's happening in the world through their own lens, which is why we gravitate to those artists because, oh, that's exactly how I feel, or that says exactly what I didn't know how to say. And so it becomes that anthem. And I love that when you think about love songs, is it's the anthem, like, you know, couples who have, you know, your song or the song that every time you hear it, you think of, you know, your spouse or your loved one and maybe tear up to some degree. You know, I can't hear the opening note of Can't Take My Eyes Off You by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons and not tear up because that was the song that my wife and I danced to the night I proposed. So that first little horn, like anytime I hear it, I get just droves of emotions. It's also the song that I can play when I know she's had a really awful day. And the way our house is laid out, she comes in through the garage up the stairs. So I listen for her to close the door from the garage into the basement. And then I drop the needle because I have it on vinyl. And so by the time she hits the bottom of the stairs, she hears the song. So by the time she gets to the top of the stairs, she knows I'm standing there waiting to dance with her. So again, songs can be that when you have that kind of connection with someone that you're like, I know if I play this right now, it is going to totally change your mood.
Yeah, that's so true. And a couple songs that come to mind for me, especially when we're talking about our topic today about the God's love and, you know, how do we receive God's love and how do we give that love, especially when it's difficult to do that. We're not really, as we say today, we're not really feeling it.
Right.
You know, I think of songs like I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking about God. So no matter what you're going through, I will always love you. I will always be there for you. And Love of My Life by Queen.
Great, you know, songs.
Yeah, just awesome songs. Love that. All right, my friends, what to do when you're longing for love, when you longing to feel love or to you feel you can't give love. That's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah. Nice.
A distorted synthesizer. Yay.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it's definitely still got that the 80s rock feel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is there a synth in there? Yeah, there you go.
The experimentation of the 80s was so much fun.
Yeah, so true. So true. And very, again, very distinctive. As soon as you hear it, oh, you know what era
right.
that sound comes from.
Yeah, yeah, so true. I also kind of very Cyndi Lauper-ish, like that she's so unusual. That album for her is very much in this vein and experimental, and I wouldn't necessarily consider her necessarily like new wave or synthy. Like she, that was like a project within itself. Everything after that was really very diverse, and she was always reinventing herself. But definitely fits in that Lauper.
Yeah, I was thinking about her the other day. I think she's still touring. She's still out there doing her thing. Good for her.
Yeah. Well, she just recently got inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I think this is her homage to the fans to do one last farewell show with as many as she can before, you know, she's done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad to see so many of these artists now, you know, that I grew up with, you know, now retiring and rightly so. I mean, all good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, you know, there's a lifespan. Even for musicians and artists, you know, and it's just sad though, because, you know, the songs and the bands that meant so much to you. But now, you know, they can enjoy their retirement and maybe have time to do things they didn't have time to do while they were busy recording and touring and all of that now. So,
so true.
Yeah. And plus they'll still have that catalog of music. We can just listen to it over and over again.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think ELO is another one, right? Just went on their last tour, Electric Light Orchestra. So, great band, great songs. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about, what do you do when you long for love? What do the scriptures have to say when we are yearning and longing for love in our lives, when we are still feel the weight and the heaviness and the burden of maybe an action that we did in the past that hurt other people, and therefore we're having trouble receiving love or even giving love because we feel that we don't deserve to be loved, so how can we possibly give love in return? But that's a relationship that God calls us into, a relationship of love and life and intimacy and communion, a love that bears fruit not only in our lives but in the lives of others. So when we get stuck, and that happens to every one of us, we get stuck in a place mentally or emotionally where we feel stagnant, and even spiritually, right? Feel stagnant in God's love. What do the scriptures have to say to us about what can we do when we're longing for love? That's our topic today. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, as we reflect into Pentecost on Sunday, the Catholic Cafe invites you to join them in the booth of the corner as they, of course, are diving into Pentecost and also allowing us to get insights into our deeper walk with God. Sunday morning, catch the Catholic Cafe, 10:30 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, what to do when you're longing for love, either desiring love in your life or trying to find ways to give and impart love to others. Again, because of maybe something going on mentally or emotionally, we feel, you know, we don't have a sense of worthiness when it comes to love, or because of maybe some things of the past, maybe some abuse or something like that, we can't feel that we can give love because we don't know how to love. Love was twisted or distorted in a certain way. And so now that's still affecting the way that we receive and give love ourselves. So there's so many different ways that this beautiful, in fact, the greatest gift that God has ever given to us and to the universe is love. Everything that exists is an overflow of that love. Jesus' death on the cross to crush the devil and crush sins. To lead us to the path of salvation, that is an act of love. That act of self-gift, self-sacrifice is a loving act. Jesus even says, no greater love than one has to lay down his life for his friends, right? So love entails gift, entails sacrifice. But there are times in our lives we don't feel that love. We don't feel that our love can have any impact, that we don't have much to give when it comes to love. So what do the scriptures have to say about what we do when we get into those particular situations, those ruts, when we get stuck in the mud or the quicksand of those feelings and emotions where we can't give or receive love? That's what we're talking about today. And would love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. So what does the scriptures have to say to us? Well, there's so many places that we can go where the scriptures gives us help and consolation. Maybe not total solutions, but it can give us a different way of thinking about our situation, help us to come to a deeper love and an understanding of how God is working in our lives at particular moments in our lives. So, for example, of course, where I'm going to go, Psalm 37, right? So Psalm 37, verse 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I'm going to take a look and see actually what the Hebrew says for Psalm 37. Let's see. It says, find your delight in the Lord who grants your heart's desire, right? So find your delight in the Lord. So joy and happiness are two different things. You've heard me talk about this before. So joy are those things are extrinsic. Joy are those things that come, happiness is extrinsic. Happiness are those things that come from the outside world, that come into our lives, right? That make us happy. So, our spouses, chocolate, your favorite song or something. These are things that come from the outside world that come into our lived experience and to make us happy, right? Joy is intrinsic. So joy comes from the inside out, because joy is a reflection of God's love, right? It's an exterior, an interior expression of the love that we have from God that penetrates into the very depth of our being. And that love finds expression when we live that life, when we become that gift of love to others. And so when we delight or take joy in the Lord, he says he will give you the desires of your heart. So in other words, the more we cooperate with the grace of God's love that is within us, the more we say yes to that love, the more we give our lives over to that love, the more that we empty ourselves of those things that separate us from that love, so that God can give us even a deeper experience of his love. He can fill us even more fully with his love. Then I think we'll begin the process of recognizing our worthiness, of recognizing that we do have gifts of love to give, even though they may be small. It doesn't matter the size of it. I think it's the intent and with the passion with which we express that love is what really matters in the end. You know, again, and it says that God will give us the desires of our heart. Again, it's not a genie. We just rub a lamp and God will give us whatever we want. No, look what it says, the desires of our heart, not the earthly desires for money or for pleasure or for whatever the world has to offer. You know, what truly is the deepest longing and desire of our heart? That is what God wants to give us. So that kind of love transcends any kind of earthly love or anything that the world itself can generate. It cannot satisfy the meaning and the depth of that kind of love. That's why often when people are feeling that they can't love or can't give love, they try to find things in the world that will fill that void, that will fill that emptiness. And it can't, right? It can't. The only one that can fill that space in our hearts are the one who created that space in the first place. And that special place in our hearts is created by God and can only be filled by God and by his love. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to fulfill the deepest desires of our heart. And that desire is to receive love and to give love, right? To make a gift of ourselves in love to others. Despite our feelings of unworthiness, despite the mistakes that we made in the past, remember the woman that was caught in adultery? It says caught in the very act of adultery. God forgave her. Why? So that she can love or find a true meaning of love. She, you know, love is not in the necessarily the physical expression, you know, now those of us who are married, you know, we have that beautiful conjugal expression of love. But you think about the priests and the religious sisters who are celibate, you know, who have given their lives and their bodies in complete service to the church. And so they don't have that expression of love, but that's okay because we won't have that expression of love in heaven either, you know? So all of these ways that we give and express love has to have its proper context in the love of God. It has to be rooted in the love of God. So even the physical expression of love has to be rooted in the love of God, which is gift, not use. Not using another person for pleasure or gratification, not abusing another person physically, emotionally, or mentally in order to get something for ourselves. No, that's not. In fact, that's not love at all. What God wants is something deeper, something greater. We just have to recognize and acknowledge that love, and to find different ways to live that love out in our lives. And again, the more we express the joy of the Lord that comes from the inside out, the greater we'll be able to express that love. All right, I'm Deacon Harold Brooks-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about what do you do when you're longing for love, when you don't feel loved or you don't feel that you can give love, where maybe we're stuck in something that we've did or an action that was done to us in the past, and we feel, you know, that we're not in a place mentally, spiritually, emotionally, to be able to give the kind of love that God wants us to give. What can we do to break out of that rut? We're taking a look at some scriptures that will help us to do just that, to think differently about our approach to love. And we'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Another scripture is the famous one, Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Where St. Paul is going through his kind of exegesis on love, where he says in verse 4 particularly says, love is patient, love is kind. Again, we've heard this line over and over again, but in the context of today's show, we're talking about sometimes being stuck, being able to give love or to receive love. This is a reminder that the love of God is we have to be patient. We often have to wait on God, you know, which is the hard part because we want results now. We want to work through these different feelings and emotions now. But God, you know, is maybe given us this cross because remember, the cross is an act, ultimately an act of love. So God sometimes gives us a cross in order to recognize, to step out of ourselves in a sense, and to recognize the power of God's love. And that love is patient, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of we're trying to work through stuff that's going on in our hearts, that's going on in our lives. We're trying to work something out with our spouse, work something out with our kids, work something out with our coworker. We have to be patient. And love has to be kind, right? I talked about this last week, where someone commented about turning the other cheek and what Jesus meant by that, that love is kind. So we respond to adversity to hatred, to animosity that's done to us, how do we respond? We respond with love, right? We don't respond in the way that the person, you know, we don't respond in this in kind in the same way that the person, you know, didn't act to us. You know, you know, Jesus turns on its head that saying of the Old Testament, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that was taught because of justice, right? We're talking about retributive justice. So that because something was done, a wrong was done to you, not that you're doing a wrong to someone else, but that other person has to give retribution for the hurt that they imparted in your life. Jesus kind of turns that thinking on his head and says, you know, we respond to acts of evil with acts of love, with acts of charity. And that takes patience and that takes humility, you know. And I think that's a beautiful way of getting unstuck, getting us out of a place where we feel like we're in a rut, right? And so I think that those two scriptures so far are important. So Psalm 37, verse 4, take your delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. Let's jump back to the Psalms again. The next scripture is Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. This is the last line of that psalm, actually, a psalm written by David. Wait for the Lord. Take courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. Again, reflecting back, we just heard from Corinthians 13. From 1 Corinthians 13 about love being patient and having courage and being stout-hearted. You know, there's no softening of the message. You know, waiting is not something that's passive. We just sit here and just wait, like you're waiting for a bus or you're waiting for a ride share to pick you up and take you someplace. That's not what we're talking about here. The kind of waiting is something that requires courage. Like, for example, Jesus on the cross, right? Waiting for that time to die, right? Waiting for God's will to be fulfilled. But first, all of the scriptures which spoke about the Lord had to be fulfilled first before he could finally give up his spirit, you know? And so Psalm 22, Jesus prays from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he takes the sip of the sour wine, right? Which was really mixed with different narcotic that would give some relief to him on the cross. He just took a little sip of it. And I think even one of the depictions in one of the movies about Jesus, he just like takes a little sip off the sponge and, you know, and pushes it away, that kind of thing. And so that's the patience that God wants us to have, to bear our burdens, to bear our cross with patience and with humility and with courage. You know, it takes courage to stand up with our Lord in the midst of adversity, you know, and sometimes that goes, it feels like it's going on and on and on, you know, maybe in a workplace situation, you know, where they're trying to, instill a culture of woke in your workplace, and you have to continually fight to maintain, you know, your standard of faith, you know, and but that takes courage to stand up and just stay at it, you know, wait for the Lord, and wait for the Lord to lead and then follow in his way. The Lord will come. We just have to be patient and wait for him with hearts that are longing and yearning for the beauty and the truth of the gospel, right? I think another beautiful verse is Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love, so I have kept my mercy toward you. And again, the word in Hebrew there is probably hesed, or one of the other verbs that's used for love. Again, in English, we just say love, but in other languages, there are different words for the different types of love. So I love this. He says, I loved you with an everlasting love. So it's not, God's love is not limited like human love is. right? Now, it's supposed to be an example of God's love, but sometimes, human love can be limited. It can be restrictive. Sometimes we try to put a fence around love and try to corral love, or love only lasts to a certain time. No, God's love has no beginning and no end. Why? Because God is love himself.
Yeah, and I think too, especially as you read the verses of love is patient, love is kind, I like replacing love with my name because then I have something to hold me accountable. Am I patient? Am I kind? Do I hold, things against, people? And that's where I think without breaking down all the different meanings of the word love, I think it comes down to kindness. Trusting each other, being kind to one another, in that intentionality for me this year has been in moments when someone rubs me the wrong way or a situation where I like this person, but I don't necessarily love them. Like, you're being kind to just take it internally. If there's something, Lord, why does this person rub me the wrong way? Why is what they're doing bothering me? So is it a spirit check? Is it a flesh check? Is it both? Because again, if we're just busy, well, I just can't love my enemy, or I just can't love this person anymore. It's, come on, you can still be kind. You can still be gentle because, again, they're also working through their things. And this is where we can meet in the middle of, like, you can either agree to disagree or just agree to be kind to one another.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm thinking, that's often really hard to do. Even when somebody provides an opportunity for us to be patient and kind and loving. So, for example, when someone comes to you that maybe hurt you in the past, and they come with a heart that is sincerely sorrowful, because maybe at that time they were going through some stuff, or they were acting in a way that, they're just passing on what happened to them, maybe some generational sin or something like that. But now they've found this relationship with the Lord. Now they've come to understand the error of their ways. Now they've come to understand the power of God working in their lives. And so part of that healing for them is they come to you and they express sincere and genuine sorrow for the pain that they inflicted, for the hurt that they caused in your life. And you, all you can think about, all you can remember is the pain. And so you can't receive the forgiveness of this person because your heart is hardened, and your heart is, you're just living with the memory of what happened. You can't give forgiveness. That's what Jesus wants us to break through, to find that place where we can really be a vehicle of mercy in the life of others. And I think that's what it's getting to here in Jeremiah. I have loved you with an everlasting love, so I've kept my mercy towards you. Because what we deserve is hell for our sins. But the Lord God has given us a way through his son to show us that love. When he endured that love on the cross, he did that for us so that all the sins, all the anger, all the hatred, we can crucify that with Christ on the cross. And it's through that crucifixion that there's an outpouring of mercy. So I think one way we can break through that barrier is to remember that this person that's coming to us asking for forgiveness, is bearing their soul and their life to us. And we, in turn, remembering what Jesus did for us, we need to be that vehicle of mercy as well to others.
Yeah,
And that's hard.
and when you're letting the love of Christ change you from the inside out, then you're showing his love to the world. You're seeing the change in yourself and then the change that it ends up inflicting into the people and the situations around you, because that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, and that goes exactly back to what I was saying before, that joy comes from the inside out,
Amen.
right? And so we have to radiate that joy, radiate that love, radiate that mercy of Christ. And we have to get ourselves to a place where we can do that. And that's why we're doing this show today, talking about these scriptures that will help us, to get to that place where we feel more comfortable. It's a process. It's going to take time. Yeah. It's going to take effort. It's going to take work. But to get ourselves to a place where we can receive love and to give love, because that is the merciful image of God's love in our lives. Right? Amen. Love that. All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about the religious switch from Catholicism. We did a show a couple of weeks ago talking about the movement of people coming into the church, but now we see people in other countries switching out of the church to other religions. Let's take a look at that. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Clear.